See, now, I wish y'all could see what I see. The attitude changes. We become brotherly. And I get to see a few other things, like back there, a husband making sure, after he had said hello to everybody else, he made sure to say hello to his wife and give her a hug. Don't think I didn't see that, Stephen. You're a smart man. I'll have to talk to you later. Good morning.
Good morning.
I see you better. We're blessed because we're fighting in our house. Oh, yeah, there are big fights in our house. Anybody want to know why? Because Honeycrisp apples hang from the tree, and we get those things, and I ate the last one, and I've been yelled at by everybody in the house, and I'll do it again. It's a blessing to have them. Amen. And be here today, and look at that weather out there. Joys. Joy, joy, joy. And of course, there's a whole string of it up here. And it's true. If you were here Sunday with a child, I highly recommend get one and come to the next one. Although be careful because the bingo's rigged, right, Chris? We come to believe that. It was beautiful. Thank you very much to Linda, Peggy, and all the volunteers. Others this morning, joys, concerns, prayers, needs, praises. It's your time. If not, then let us join our hearts together. And when you come forward in prayer, if you have an unspoken request, just hand up so we can... Thank you. Thank you all. Let's join our hearts. We look around, Father, and we see a world that is spinning out of control. It's nothing new. It's nothing that we've just noticed, but as we walk closer to you, our hearts break more for those who don't. Today, the very first prayer is for those who are lost. The day is coming when you will return, when Jesus will come down here and take us home, that not one should perish. Let it be our constant companion and our constant prayer for those who do not know. And we're thankful that we do. As Paul said, it's not a boast, it's not a bragging right, it is pure, utter, humble thankfulness that each and every one of us in this room has been saved. Thank you. Taken away from who we once were to be who you would have us. You've heard those that have called out today for healing powers and for strength and guidance through journeys, through unmeasurable pain as they experience cancer. For those that live with a constant pain, for those that are afraid of the future because they don't see it yet, let us give prayer directly in each of those situations. Take what we pray for, Father, and hear it through the Holy Spirit and apply it liberally that those hearts may be mended, strengthened, or found. And for children, it is so beautiful to see them. It is so amazing to hear them. It takes us down to childlike faith and strengthens us. It's where we need to be now. In a world that is going crazy, we need to simply, with childlike faith, look toward you. May that blessing continue. Thank you for those who are leading and guiding us, Father. For the teachers that teach preachers. For those that teach in school, at home, in Sunday school, both adult and child and young one. May their words be guidance toward the flock from you. praying for the leaders of this country, Father, is a constant need. But right now, we need to lift up this denomination. There is a great time coming that we must face. And so, Father, with the leadership, make sure that they understand the inerrant word that is yours and look toward it in all things, choosing not to look at it for themselves, but as what it simply is. For those who serve and protect this country, for those who serve us in many capacities, let your hand of comfort and protection be upon them. And finally, for the congregation, I pray that our bond will be strengthened over time, that our unity will grow, that we will come to understand the meaning of the word brethren, and that we will be closer to what you would have us, each and every one. Bind us together, Lord. Heal our flaws. Accept our failures with your ever-loving grace. Bring us together. Whereas in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. To be tested. I wonder where that's coming from. Luke chapter 4, first 13 verses. We're going to start there. We're going to go everywhere through the Bible. And if I go too fast when I start calling them off, see me after the service and I'll give you what I was using for text. But Luke chapter 4. Tempted, tested, saved. And it's an old story. And we're going to look at it yet all over again. I love what Linda said this morning. Some stories are needed to be retold over and over again. Why? Because sometimes we forget the actual story itself and just look at where it came from. Luke chapter 4, Satan tempts Jesus in the wilderness. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world and said to him, "I will give you authority and splendor, for it has been given to me and I can give it to you, to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will be all yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift up you in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. To be tested. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open our hearts, our minds, our ears. These words that I speak today, let them be wholly yours, not mine. From you, through me, to the brothers and sisters, that they will be raised up, strengthened, and go from here ready yet again for the next part of the journey, proclaiming your word and seeking out those who are in need and ministering to them. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. I'm going to make a couple of pretty dumb statements here at the beginning. And I'm good at making stupid statements. Life is everywhere. That's pretty boring, isn't it? Of course life is everywhere. You go outside the door, you see it. We live in a world that has everything to do with not having a conscience. These are all dumb, simple statements. I was listening to this. Now, that's not really saying anything that we didn't already know, is it? Life is everywhere. We live in a world that's not really ruled by conscience anymore. Unless you're a Christian. It's pretty simple. We get tested a lot, don't we? The very truth is, we can choose how to react to everything around us. We are always being tested. Always. Regardless of what you think, regardless of whether or not it's right, we are always being tested in who we are. Not tempted, tested. Temptation comes from somewhere else. We'll get to that in a minute. Life is everywhere. We live in a world without a conscience. And the only way that we can react is by how we choose to react. The only way we live, how did you choose to live? Obviously, I know part of that answer because you're sitting here in front of me, waiting. As many of you know, I'm enrolled in school. That's a funny thing in and of itself. Me in school. And as I approached it 6 weeks ago, I thought, well, this will be simple. I'll just go in, go through the motions, sit in the back of the classroom, keep my mouth shut, and everything will be fine. And don't laugh at that. I do know how to keep my mouth shut. This program has been testing me beyond everything that I am. Testing to find out. Who are you? What is it that you're trying to accomplish? Where are you going? What do you believe? And I like it. I have to admit it. I wish the class would go on for another 5 classes. We're 3 hours a night, and at the end of the 3rd hour, I'm not ready to stop. Because the challenge and the test, every time I get to the other side of it, I've grown just a little bit. And that is where we're at today. We are always being tested. It's causing me to think about how we approach life and what is thrown at us each and every single day. How do you start your morning? Do you rumble out of bed and go, woohoo? If you do, there's something wrong. If you're like me, at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning when the alarm goes off, I think about if I only had a hammer. But then I see the day. We see the day. And I'm not talking about the unknown stuff. I'm talking about the things we know, the world we're walking into. How do we approach the day? Knowing you're going to be tested. It changes your thought process a little bit, doesn't it? You were once a Christian, you were once not a Christian, now you're a Christian. When you walked out in the door in the morning before you were a Christian, maybe your biggest thought in that morning was coffee. For me, donut. As Christian, it's the first thing you do. Father, take me through this day. Being tested. And I'm watching it. Somebody told me the other day in a conversation that God tempts you. And I went, what? And they said, yeah. Isn't that it? God tempts you? No. God will never, ever, ever tempt you. Ever. Test you, but not tempt. That's not His job. We live in our own free will. We live in the fact that we can choose to do whatever we want, right? Even as Christians, can't you choose to do whatever you want? Wake up in the morning, oh my golly, I don't need to go to church today, or I'm just going to be in a foul mood all day long. I can choose to do whatever I want. We live in a world in free will, and we can choose to let sin, to let Satan run our lives, or we can choose Jesus. We're being tested every single day. You're going to hear that a lot during this sermon, because I felt it this week like you can't imagine. And I know it is not done ever. Some weeks it's more prevalent, but this week... And let's be truthful. Isn't it easier to follow sin than it is to behave? I mean, come on. If you're not shaking your head a little bit, you're right, then you're missing it. It's easier. We preached about that a couple Sundays ago, right? The four-lane highway, the goat path. It's easy to be wide. It's not easy to walk narrow. Might stop for a minute here and have us take a good look at those verses again as an opportunity to step away or be tested. Open your Bibles back up. Hopefully you didn't close them. All too often we read those verses. When was the last time you read them? Other than 5 minutes ago. It's all right. When was the last time you thought about Jesus being tempted in the desert? Seriously. Other than 5 minutes ago and for the next hour and a half. 20 minutes. When was the last time you actually looked at him as him being tested? First of all, let's make no mistake. Jesus took human form to experience what we experienced. He could be cut and bleed. He could catch a cold. He could stub his toe. He could hit his hand with a hammer in the workshop. He could fall down and scrape his knees. He could cry. He could honestly almost get in a little bit of mischief. Jesus took on the human form so he would know who we are. Amen? That's a core belief. Put that in your mind as we walk with him out of the Jordan into the desert. And that's what it says. He came right out of the desert and went to go, is what I often hear. Oh, he spent 40 days in the desert, and then he came out and started preaching. Let's think about the testing. First of all, let's think about a desert. I have never personally been to a desert. I would like to one day. I think it'd be kind of neat. See some of the critters and everything. The worst desert is so bleak. It's called the Namib Desert. There's no malls in the desert. There's no Dairy Queens in the desert. There's no air conditioning in the desert. There's nothing. A few trees, a couple things. And this is where Jesus went. I'd like to ask you all how many people right here would step out of the water if God called you and said, you go out in that desert for 40 days and I'll come back and get you. Don't look at me and say, oh yeah, I'd do that. No, the first thing you do is go, really? Are you sure? But Jesus did. That's the thing. Verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert. In the Namib Desert, the total annual rainfall is less than 0.04 inches. Now, I don't know how much that is, but I'm thinking that's probably a thimble. Nothing. Barren. Nasty. During the day, what's a desert? Blisteringly hot. What is it at night? Absolutely freezing cold. Put it in your mind, 40 days of this. I couldn't do it. Wouldn't want to do it. Please don't make me do it. I will if you ask, but Jesus did. He didn't sit out there and chant and talk to the animals. He was hungry. He was thirsty. After 40 days in the desert. Even while preparing this message, I asked the question where the desert out of the Jordan was, and I went to the information pipeline there on the old computer because didn't feel like digging out the encyclopedia, so I typed it in, and I got something that completely caught me off guard and caught me in a moment where I was tested. I caught a preacher writing these words. He said, Jesus did not go to the desert per se. He had just been to a place where he was cut off from the world for a while. But more than likely, he never actually went into the desert. And that pastor's email address was clicked on to that little message. And my fingers were almost ready to... I didn't test it. I know my Bible. Let's go back again. It says, in the desert, led by the Spirit, in the desert. It doesn't say, led over to the corner there where he had to sit and wait. Again, I was tested. I wanted to write this person and ask them, what did he think a desert was, and does he read his Bible? Verse 1. Jesus was tested, tempted, tested, tempted, tested. 40 days. We are tempted, tested every single day. And Jesus knows that. Amen. Because he is able to give us the grace to stand it. To be tested, you have to want to follow Jesus every day. Let me say that again. To be tested, you truly have to want to follow Jesus. Because if you're just playing at it, it's not going to come to you. Satan has no reason to test you if he already owns you. He has no good reason. He gets nothing from you if he's already got you. Paul Letterman, oh, he's mine. You ever seen him loose at a buffet? I know I've got him. Better hear so-and-so. He keeps going to church. I got to have him. I'm going to test him. Not him. Him. And what happens is we get a world without a conscience. A world that turns around and looks at you and me and says, what is wrong with you that you would try to be that straight? I heard David Jeremiah talking this week about Satan and says that Satan had no real power except what we gave him. Now that kind of amazed me a little bit. He's supposed to be great, right? Prince of Light and all that kind of stuff. And the only power he has is what we give him. I don't choose to give him any too often. Sometimes I slip. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we're tested. And that's when he gets to us. And what burns Satan more than anything, and yes, I meant to make a pun, is when we followers and lovers of Jesus Christ, we believers, are tested and we pass. Anybody catch my pun? Satan getting burned? Come on, guys, wake up. I made it through another week. You made it through another week. You survived. Think about that for a second. And while so many of them are hard, we made it. And this week I am being tested yet again for the direction of this congregation, you all, on a matter that could very well split the denomination into a way that we don't want to ever see. Many of you know that Satan is knocking on church doors. Does everybody agree with that? Amen? Churches are opening the door and letting him in. We are being taught or led by the world of no conscience and no testing that our view of the Bible is wrong and that Satan is now returned to the garden and it's okay. Being tested every day, every minute. He is offering fruit again to tempt us by telling us simply, the Bible is wrong, God makes mistakes. Now, we're going to have a discussion about this at a future message, and I'm not going to get drawn into that right now. I'm being drawn into this difference of opinion, and it's testing me in a way that I never asked for. All I wanted to do was be the preacher and the pastor. Take care of you guys, do what I'm supposed to, everything's good. That's not the way he sees it. That's not the way he sees it with you. Your job is to just not walk on this earth as a follower. Your job is to be tested and shine through. So that somebody who doesn't know looks at you and goes, I need to know about that. I need to see that. I need to find out about that. So in time when I've studied and prepared it, we will deal with what I'm seeing. But you know, I view that I made it because I was tested and hard and tested and tempted and I made it. And do you know how I made it? Because I'm in these four walls this morning. Not that I really had any other choice, but I'm still here. Needingly, desiringly. And so are you. Needingly, desiringly, shining through another week. Anyone, and I love this, I hear these people all the time, you ain't got to go to church to follow Jesus. Really? Why not? Well, because I know who he is and I believe him. Anyone who says that they don't need to go to church to follow Jesus is wrong. I am here, we attend here to be ministered to and to be lifted up and prepared for the next week, for the next test, for the next temptation, to praise God that we are here. So say amen. Let's go back to Scripture. See what old Satan's up to. Turn back to Luke again. Satan waits until we're run down, doesn't he? He waits till you're at the very bottom. He waits till you're good and tired. Just like the children in my life. Just when I finally sat down in the easy chair to have a moment, Dad, can we do this? He said, down. But Dad. Satan comes to you when you're wore down and starts. What does it say? It says he ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. He was tempted by the devil. I cannot imagine what Jesus was going through at that moment. In the desert alone, cut off. Not allowed to hear from his Father. 40 days of want. No help was sent from above. He was tested just like us. After 40 days, he was weak. He was thirsty. After 40 days, he was bruised. He was sunburnt. He was wrung out. He was tired. He was worn down. And at the end of that time, Satan appears. The gospel writer Matthew puts it down like this. The tempter came to him. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, waited until he was weak. Waited until he was down. Waited. After footing appears to be lost, Satan comes in and starts his deceit. When we have let all the things around us get us down and start to crush us, that's when the door starts to get knocked on. Hey, I can make life better. I'm sorry that your business is failing. Your marriage is failing. Your house is falling down around you. Your job is not going so well. But you don't have to worry about that. I'm here now. That's when he shows up. That's when he comes in, and he does it all the time. James wrote in his letter these words. In the first chapter, 13th verse, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, neither does he tempt anyone. But each is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. But don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. You're being tested because you need to be. You're being tested because it's necessary. The writer in Psalms chapter 11 has almost the same words to say. Chapter 11 verse 5. I'm sorry. Yeah, chapter 11 verse 5. The Lord examines the righteous, But the wicked and those who love violence, his soul hates. Two stories, one funny, one thoughtful, about being tested. To be tested sometimes, our pride, our own ego, that lets us think no one can get us. Is anybody in here capable of that? I can't be gotten. I am great. A professor had been hired by a major oil company because he could give speeches on drilling for oil that were so great, they put him in a car with a chauffeur and drove him to the universities all over the country to give this same speech. And he gave it over and over again. And one day, while he was driving, the chauffeur looked at him and said, "Life ain't fair." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I've been driving you around now for a year, and I've heard you give that speech, and I can give that speech the same way you can, and you're getting paid more." Mr. Ego-powered professor said, "I'm going to teach this boy something." He said, "Mister, let me know. I studied in this school and am proficient in this." Chauffeur said, "I don't want to hear that. I can do it." Oftentimes we think we're going to teach somebody something. We're going to show them something. And the professor looked at him and said, "You know, we're about the same size. You pull over at the filling station up here and we're going to change clothes. And we're going to go to the university and you get up there and give that speech. And I'm going to teach you what things are like." He said, "I'll do it." And they did. And they went to the university. And the chauffeur got up there in that suit. And he commenced to beating on the pulpit. And he went down on the podium. And he had them hollering. And all the time, the old chauffeur sitting back there in the back in the blue serge suit with his little chauffeur's cap on. And he got done. They were cheering and carrying on. And the professor of the great university came up to him and says, "Doctor, we got about 10 minutes left. Would you like to answer a few questions?" Uh-oh. One man stands up in the front, pocket full of pens, calculator, thick glasses. You know what I'm talking about. He said, "Doctor, if a company on a wildcat venture drilled an oil well 2 miles down and returned a core bit back from the earth and placed it down and went down through the fossilized remains of the dinosaurs to find that oil, what would be the pH balance and the soil contention at the end of that bit, followed by the temperature that it was forced under with the assuming pressure that made it oil?" Chauffeur looked at him for a minute and said, "I can't believe they let you in here. I can't believe they let somebody like you in this university. In all my time, I ain't never been asked such a dumb, stupid, simple question. And to show you how easy this question is to answer, I'm going to let my chauffeur in the back do it." See, the old professor thought he knew something and was going to do the testing and got tested. Both were tested. And I know it's funny, but when you have to think about how real that story is to life, my children teach me. My children, my kids. Yesterday, we were down in a shop, and I was teaching them how to use a hammer the proper way. You swing from your elbow, you lock your wrist, you put your thumb up on the stock of it, and you guide that hammer, and you put them nails down, and you keep your eye on the head of it. And I was teaching them how to do it. And I say, you hold your hand this way. And when you smack that nail, you keep your eye on it. And you will always be true with that thing. And you will never miss. And one of the boys looked at me and goes, "Is that how you smashed your finger, Daddy?" We get tested. Stop dead cold. I can tell you, we'll have no more children. I can't go through that again. It could be easily said that when we think we can go it alone, what happens? Flip back to Luke 4, 12th verse. Give me the markers. When we think we can go it alone, it says, "Do not put your Lord God to the test." Don't test Him, lest you be tested. Hard. I have a problem with that. when we will fail a lot. But there is one thing here, the parallel, the reason that even though he knows this is coming, that even though that he knows we are going to fail him, and that failure comes in many forms, anger, pride, spite, bad words, bad deeds, being able to not forgive somebody. It comes in those many forms. Even though we fail him, we know that we're going to be lifted up. If you read again in Matthew, even though everything had been tempted, even though everything had been brought against him, even though he had been absolutely tested to the very end, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, then the devil left him and angels came and attended him. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is still there. He is still there to fulfill us. He is still there to attend us because we claim him. He is still there because we are going to give in to him. And he knows that we're going to be tested over and over and over again. And he's not going to let us go through it alone. Second story. I had used it, the thoughtful story, but it bears reuse here today. And I am a firm believer of reading things over and over and over again until you get them right. There was a group of women in a Bible study that had just read the verses in Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verse 2 and 4. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. There was a group of women that had just read that. During their Bible study, they got to wondering about refining silver. And so one of the women called a silversmith up and she went down to watch him work on it. She didn't say why she was there. She just said, I want to see it done. She watched as he held a piece of silver over the fire and let it get hot, heated up. He told her that in refining silver, one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire where the flames were hottest to burn away all the impurities. The woman thought about God holding us in such a hot spot, testing us, and then she thought again about that verse. He sits as a refiner and purifier of silver. And she asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit in front of that fire the whole time while the silver was being refined. The man answered yes. And not only did he have to sit there the whole time holding it, he had to keep his eyes on the silver the entire time it was in the fire. He could not look away. If the silver was left a moment too long in the flames, it would be destroyed. The woman, silent for a minute, asked the silversmith, how do you know when the silver is fully refined? He smiled and answered her and said, oh, that's easy. I can see my image in it. If we're being tested in that fire, we're being refined till his image shows again. Hold on. Hold on. I wanted this message to be lifting. I wanted it to be a little bit more fun. Because lately we've been working kind of hard, pointing out shortcomings, and I wanted to see God lift us up through this. And I did. He who never fails when the smoke clears and the test is over. Paul wrote these words, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you failed the test. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. We have not failed the test. It's coming again this week. You will pass because Jesus in you is greater than anything that can come at you. We're going to leave here today in the safety of these four walls, and it's all going to be gone, and we'll start the whole week over. So this week, I want us to be brethren. I want us to be brethren, Church of the Brethren. And so I'm going to give you some homework. If I got to go to school, you got to go to school. Most all of us have a directory of the church with the phone numbers in it. If you don't, there's some left. Isn't there some left? There's some left. I want you to pick two people out of this week, out of that directory, that you don't normally call, and call them. Each one of you. Somebody different. I want you to pick two people out of that directory, and I want you to call them and listen to them. Don't try to solve or fix or whatever. Listen. And guess what you're going to find out? Somebody's going to call you. And they'll listen to you. We're being tested, brothers and sisters, every minute of every day. And it's hard. And I know it. And Jesus was tested. And it was hard. And He knew it. And as many are as under Him, we will be tested. And we can use something there. And we will grow from it. We will be refined and show His image. Amen? I pray that we are tested this week. James writes these words, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him." I say, let it come again. I'm not happy, but I know in who I belong. And with that, I'm ready to be tested. Are you? Say amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, yes, we've talked about it before. Stick us in the fire. Light us up. Let us walk as close to Your Son as we can. Let us see Him in the desert being run down. And then let us look at our own lives and see that as far as we are run down, our safety lies within You, within Your strength, within Your grace, within Your covering, within everything, because Your Son did it and ministers to us through the Holy Spirit. Let us pick up that book and find two people and call them right here in this building. Let us afterwards look around for someone who is hurting, who is failing, and go listen to them. Don't heal them. Don't cure them. Just listen. And let them know that God loves them. After each time we are fired, let us shine all over again until those impurities come back and You have to fire us again. Let us look for it and the blessings contained within it. Let us use that to grow. Let us be brethren. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And all of God's children said, amen. Being tested? Being beat on? You need somebody to listen? Right up here. During the last hymn, come forward. Let the prayer fill you up. Don't leave home without it.
Please stand and turn to page 505.
Thank you.
This week, brothers and sisters, you will be tested a lot. My prayer, Father, is unto these, unto this flock, unto this group, unto this congregation, that you will refine them again and again and again, taking them through so that they may shine to those who see them, and let those who are lost be desirous to come unto you. I pray for each and every one. Now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now and forevermore. Amen.